Now that I got your attention, or lost you completely, whichever the case may be, turn with me, if you would, to Judges, the 14th chapter. And we'll continue. The kids can go to children's church, I suppose. I know they don't want to hear this. I tell you something else, and going along with the tithes and offerings, and I'll probably need to preach about this here in the next few weeks, but if you'll teach your children when they're young, and by verbally teaching them and by showing them with your faithfulness in giving how to give, when they become young adults, they'll transition into a giver just automatically. It won't be a difficult transition for them to start giving to the church when they've learned it from you. My three children, all three of them, they learned early on how to give. And when they transitioned into adulthood, it was no problem for any of the three to give. And their spouses all are willing to give. And there's no problems there that I know of whatsoever. They just give. They know that that's what you're supposed to do. They didn't argue about it, didn't fuss about it. They just did it because that's what you're supposed to do if you're a Christian. So teach and train your children. And it'll be beneficial to them in the long run. Amen. We taught them, and we still do, and our grandchildren, they give their birthday money, they tithe off of it. Their Christmas money, they tithe off of it. They've learned that that's what you do. That's an increase to me, so I give off of that. So I just want to help you. Anyway, losing our testimony. Samson part two, losing our testimony. I don't want to lose mine, do you? No, none of us do. Let's read it before we go any further, but we're going to talk just briefly, and I got several things to share with you, and I think I'll probably use up the whole 45 minutes. Is that okay? All right, I'm sure I will. I do have one gift, and that is a gift of gab when I'm in behind the pulpit, and of some other things. Y'all might say it is a gift of, not a gift, but anyway. And Samson went down to Timnath. And saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistine. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughter of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said to him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all thy people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. I want to stop just a moment there and let you know something, what the problem was here. Samson was a man, although called of God, anointed of God, chosen of God, you know, to do great works for God, to deliver his children Israel from the hand of the oppressors. Samson was led of the flesh. He was full of pride, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of his eyes. And so when he was full of lust, just put it right where it's at, he was full of lust his whole entire adulthood. That's what led him. That's what ruled him. That's what caused him to do everything he did, was his lust and his desire for women. Let's just get it right where it's at. He could have been a great man of God, but his desire for women superseded anything and everything else in his life. It was constantly driven by his lust. And that's a fact. So, let's go on. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Now it says it was of the Lord, and I've got a lot more to say here, but I just need to just initiate something here with you just briefly. It was not that God intended for Samson to marry an unbeliever. He was motivated by his own desire to marry outside of God's people, but God did use his sin as an occasion to do something beneficial for the kingdom, for the kingdom of God, for the children of Israel. And Samson went down and to with his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him, and the spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat, but he told them not. They told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down into the woman, and Samson made there a feast. So used the young man to do. I'm going to stop right there. This is a long chapter, and you can read the rest of it for yourself a little bit later on. When we understand, when God's way, God's word, and sound moral principles are ignored, both individuals and societies will be destroyed when God's ways are ignored. When God's ways are is rejected, ignored, it will result in despair, disorder, and death. And you can see that all through the Bible, all through different people's lives that you know of. Things happen in their lives, and before long, they're in despair, they're in agony, gloom, despair, and agony on me. You know, they're just, things don't go right for them, and there's spiritual death that occurs because they went away from the ways of God. And one of the saddest things about the life of Samson was that the things began that were never brought to conclusion. Samson was a man of unfinished task. Samson could have and should have accomplished much for the Lord, but he didn't. Do you know people like that? Maybe you feel like you're a person like that. You could have, should have done much for the Lord, but here we are at this point of history, at this point in our lives, and you know people like that that have not done anything for God, although God had anointed them, maybe God had chosen them, God had furnished them with all the things that they needed, but yet they've never accomplished anything for the Lord because they, like Samson, are led by the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes. And so they go away from the Lord, are led astray by their own lust, and so they don't finish what God has called them to do. You see, Samson was a failure. He was a chosen vessel of God, but he failed to accomplish the things that God had designed him to do. God called him from his birth to do great and mighty things, to deliver Israel one more time. He had called Samson from his birth to do that. He had told his parents how to raise him. We talked about that last week. And so he lost his effectiveness. He lost his testimony. He lost his influence, not only among his enemies, the world, but among his own brothers, the church. And when we go astray, and when we don't follow the Lord, and when we go our own way, we will lose our testimony, not only with the church, but with those in the world. The world are expecting you as a Christian to be different than they are. So many times, too many times, the church now is so much like the world that the world cannot distinguish between themselves and you as a Christian. There needs to be a distinction there. Samson made some wrong choices, because he failed to submit to his will to the will of God. He failed in his choice of a companion, a proper spiritual mate. He failed to keep the secrets that God had shared with him. He failed to honor the holiness of the Nazarite vow. Can you see people like that? Do you sometimes even, maybe you see yourself in this picture today? I'm not trying to cast any type of stone, to either without sin, let him cast the first stone. I'm not trying to do that, but I want to open your eyes today, if I may, if I can at all, to how fatal it is to go against God, and how that those fatal errors that Samson made led to his spiritual failure and physical death. And don't you believe that if you fail God in the same type way that Samson has, that you'll also lead to death, spiritual death, if not physical death? It'll lead to that if we go away from the Lord. And we need to understand that today, church. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. You don't want to do that. But God has chosen each of you. You say, well, I've not been chosen for anything. I believe when you got saved, God chose you. I believe when you got saved, he put a purpose in your life that you never knew about, that he wants you to do something mighty for him. You see, Samson had a miraculous birth. We know that. It was a special announcement by the Lord himself, the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. His life was set apart for a special purpose. As a young man, he began to experience a move of the Spirit of God. The Lord moved upon him. The Bible said between Dan and Ishkel, one of the forbidden places, God began to move upon him. What was the Spirit of the Lord saying to Samson? Well, first off, he said, Samson, don't go. Don't go to Ishkel. Don't go down there. You've been forbidden to drink wine. You've been called to separation. You've been set apart for a special service. And church, that's the same way with you and I today. God is saying to many of us, don't go down there. Don't go to that place. Separate yourself. You've been forbidden to drink wine. You've been forbidden to partake of the things of the world. You've been set apart for a special purpose, just like Samson. And God will speak to you through his Spirit if you'll just listen. I know as a young man, I didn't listen to the Spirit of the Lord. I wanted to do some things that I shouldn't do. I did some things I hadn't ought to have done. I could have accomplished a whole lot more for God a whole lot sooner if I had not have indulged in some of the things that I indulged in as a young man. But I'm thankful to the Lord that when I was just in my early 20s, that the Lord came into my life in a real way. I mean, he touched me right down deep into my heart, and at that point, I separated myself from the things of the world. The old man passed away. All things become new. And I'm glad for that today. But I realized that I had a purpose. And all of us, in a sense, when we got saved, when we had our new birth, when we were saved, we had a miraculous new birth, I should say, when we were saved. It's a miraculous birth. None of us deserve to be saved, not a one of us. There's none righteous, the Word of God says. No, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us are sinners that have been saved by grace. We are the righteousness of God today in Christ Jesus. It's not of works. It's not of your own righteousness. It's the righteousness of Christ that God sees. He has cleansed you with his blood and set you free from the bondage of sin. But you've had a miraculous birth. You've been blessed today. You've been washed in the crimson blood of Jesus Christ. You felt the miraculous touch of the Holy Spirit when he changed you from the sons of Satan into the sons of God. I remember that time when I got saved. I remember when I felt the load lift, the burden go away. I remember when I knew for sure that I was born again, that I was no longer a son of Satan or a follower of Satan, but now a son of God and an heir of a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I realized when that happened in my life, and so I was changed from death to life, and so have you. If you're a Christian today, miraculous new birth. And you know, just like the angel declared, announced the miracle birth of Samson, when a person accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the angels of heaven announce another miracle birth. The angels rejoiced when you got saved. Amen. Aren't you glad that they paid attention? The Lord pays attention. But God has called all of us to walk by faith. Walk by faith as living testimonies, as walking sermons, as lighthouses for God. People, I'll tell you something, John Rhodes out of Fenton, Missouri, you don't know him, he's famous in my eyes and very good preacher, and I've never had him here. I wish I could have got him at one time or another. But Brother John Rhodes, a very powerful man of God, said this on one of his Facebook posts recently. He said about Christians, said the people don't care so much about what you say. They're watching how you live. And we're been called to be lighthouses for God. We've been called to as walking sermons. God has called everyone, every man and woman of this hour. He's called you to be that living testimony, that man or woman of God who's living for him, being a real, true, living testimony. But some of us have lost it. So what a contrast in the life of Samson. in the last verse of chapter 13, we see where the Spirit of the Lord began to move on him at times in the camp. It says it began to move upon him. In the very first verse of chapter 14, Samson violates the moving of the Spirit of God. He saw a woman and he lusted after her. It didn't say that, preacher. It said he went down, saw a woman of the daughters of the Philistines, and come and told his mom and daddy, I've seen a woman, now go get her for me. He lusted after a woman. He immediately violated the moving of the Spirit of the Lord. He ignored the voice of God in all the instructions that he had received as he was growing up. How many times have we done that? We've received instructions about how to live for God, even through our mamas and our dads and the preachers and the teachers in the church. But we ignore, and then with the Word of God that we've read, and we ignore it because there's other things going on in our lives, and there's other desires that's welling up within us, and there's other things that we'd rather do, and we don't want to be hindered in our life. And after all, it's only one life. We only have one life to live, so we want to live it to the fullest. And being a Christian, we can't do everything we want to do. No, you can't. You can do what you ought to do, and then that's fullness of blessing and joy, peace, and everything you would possibly could possibly ever want. God wants you to be fulfilled in every area, but you cannot ignore the voice of God as you're growing up, and even as you're coming to alive in Christ. You can't ignore what God has told you to do. It's one thing to make a spiritual vow. It's a total different thing to keep that commitment to God. How many of you have ever made a vow to God? God, if you'll do this, this is what I'm going to do. How many of you remember what your vow was? Most of us forget what we tell God. God doesn't forget, though, but we do. We make those vows, God comes through, and we forget what we told him we was going to do. You know it's true. You may have remembered some of them, but sometimes we get in so much trouble, we're making them so often. The Bible says don't vow a vow if you don't intend to keep it. It's better not to say it at all. But we say we're going to do things. So it's another thing to keep a vow after the fervor of the moment is passed. And after praying and after the praying, after the vows and after the fervor of the moment is passed, we have to stand the test that's going to come. And there'll be a test. Devil's always going to test your commitment. Come on now. And Samson's commitment was tested right off the bat. And I think God knew really early on that Samson wasn't going to keep his vows. He knew that he's going to be a total flop. He just knew that Samson was going to be a problem for him, but yet he still called him. He still anointed him. He still empowered him to do some things for him and worked with this young man, although he had some problems. But as surely as you make a vow to God, your commitment to your vow or your word's going to be tested. And like I said, sometimes we forget our vow, how quickly we forget our promises and the purpose of our existence. I'm going to tell you something, church, today. You're not just saved to sit on a pew. You're not saved just to come to church on Sunday and pay your tithe. You're saved to go out to the world, to the lost and dying world, and tell them about Jesus. You're paid to be the salt and the life and the light of this world. You're called for the Master's use. He didn't call you just so you could be blessed. He called you so that you could be a blessing to somebody else and do something to win someone else to the Lord, to tell them the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you don't do that, you're missing out on one of the greatest blessings that you could ever receive in serving God. And let me ask you some questions this morning. Just a few. Don't answer these out loud. And please don't hit me with a ball bat or something after church. Are you under the covering of the Lord when you willingly choose to walk in violation to the will of God? Are you under the covering of the Lord when you willingly choose to walk in violation of the will of God? The next question is your life hid in Christ when you choose to take your life out of the hand of God and go your own way? Can you have the protection and blessing of God when you go to places Christ cannot and will not go? Just something to think about. Will God keep his hand on you when you openly violate what we know is right for a Christian? Will God keep his hand on you when you knowingly violate what you know is right as a Christian? Now, all the answers to them is no, 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 no. You may not have answered that way, but that's the answer. No. God cannot and will not condone your sin. Nor will he, I can't think of the word I'm wanting to use, but we must anchor our lives in the Lord, the Word of God. We must be willing to endure adversity as a people of God, more than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Church, there's going to be some adversity in your life. We talk about that all the time. When you got saved, adversity come in. I know joy, peace, and love came in, but adversity also showed up when you become a Christian. Just the way it is. The world didn't love Jesus. They're not going to love you. They crucified him. They're going to come after you. You just got to expect it. Understand that that's what's going to happen. We've been blessed. You and I have been blessed. We've been raised in the United States of America, the greatest nation on the face of the earth. I mean, tell you now, I don't want to live anywhere else in the world, and I don't want to live in any other state other than this great state. I'm proud to be an Okie. I'm proud of it. I'm glad I talk funny. I'm glad I say a fixin' too. But church, we gotta live for God. And what I was going to say there is we haven't had the adversity as Christians in this nation as others have in other nations. Most of our, problems with the world is verbal. You know, they say things about us. They don't take guns and knives after us. And I know it's beginning to be that way. And we had another church attack just last week. And every time you turn around, there's someone doing something stupid. One person said this about common sense. Was if common sense was lard, most people wouldn't have enough lard to grease a pan. And that's kind of like, you know, stupidity. Some people are just plumb silly and they go to the extreme on some things. But, that doesn't mean that Jesus is not still Lord. Doesn't mean that God doesn't still protect. And you're very blessed to live where you live and be able to come worship in spirit and in truth this morning just the way you want to. You know, I'm really not worried about somebody walking in this church and mowing us all down with a gun this morning. Of course, we've locked our doors and we got some guys carrying today. We're going to take some precautions, but I'm really not real concerned about it. Understand? If I was, I'd hire some security, wouldn't we? Get some guys walking the perimeter. Put AK-47s on them and camouflage. We got to watch out. There's conflict in our lives. Don't give up on God because there's conflict. You're going to struggle. Sometime just totally surrender to God and give into the, or if you don't, you'll give into the flesh and return to the dominion of sin. Be careful about that. Too many times, I've known too many people, boy, when the things got tough, they shake their fist in the face, you know, just raise their hands to heaven, look up to heaven, say, God, if I'd known it's going to be like this, I would never start serving you to start. But God, you're all to blame for everything's going on in my life. And usually that's not the case. Most of the time they've been just like Samson. They got in trouble because they were led by the flesh. Lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes. They got in their way and they got in trouble. So there's going to be conflict, but we have to surrender to the Lord. And there's going to be a battle within you at times on whether to yield to the demands of the Holy Spirit and continue under the dominion of God. I want to continue under the dominion of God. I want to give in to the demands of the Holy Spirit. It's not easy all the time. And I thought, Brother Ryder, as I got older, it'd get easier. I don't know where I got that idea at. I just always assumed if I got older, it'd get easier. But it hasn't. And let that be a warning to you guys, teenagers. It's not going to get easier. But here's what the Word of God says. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, come out from among them and be ye separate. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee youthful lust. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Come on now. The Holy Spirit told the church at Ephesus, I have somewhat against you, for you have left your first, you've left your first love. You chose to leave your first love. You walked away from your first love. And church, if we're not careful, the same thing will happen to us. Samson walked away from the anointing of God. It still come upon him at times for a specific purpose, but basically he walked away from the true blessings of God. Can you imagine what he might have accomplished if he would have kept his vow? If he would have been led of the Spirit of God instead of the led by the flesh? Can you imagine what he might have done? Great and mighty things. He would have delivered Israel one more time. Samson had no business in Timnath. Had no business there. His parents tried to stop him. Can't you find a girl among the Israelites to marry? Isn't there someone here that's as beautiful and as desirable as that girl? And sure there was. God was trying to speak through him, to him through godly parents. It's much wiser to find a spouse among your own people. A woman who shares your beliefs. A woman who loves God. A woman of purity. And thank God for godly parents this morning. Parents that'll teach us the right way. The Bible says, when you teach your children the way, the way of the Lord, and when they get old, they won't depart from it. Train up your child in the way that he should go, is what it says. And when he gets old, he'll not depart from it. Young people, one of these days you'll appreciate your godly parents. You may not today, but one day you will. Your grandparents, whoever's raising you. A day will come when you'll value their advice. One of these days it'll happen. One day you'll wish you had a mother to say, don't go there. My mama tell me not to go places I'd go anyway, and she'd show up. I remember about 1965 or 6, somewhere in there, I was 15, 14 years old, and there was a party over at Sammy's house. And I think it was Sammy's, but anyway, I was over there about 6 or 8 blocks away from home. Mama told me not to go, but I told her I was going skating or something, so I went to the party, and I got over there. There was dancing, and there was girls, and there was music, and I hadn't got to find out whether there was any booze yet or not, but there was a party going on. And I got in there, and I was having me a good time, and all of a sudden I heard somebody go, Stone! Your mama's here! Oh, shucks. I'm in trouble now. And I tried to find a window to climb out, couldn't get it up. I wanted to get out. I hit the wall 3 or 4 times trying to break my own exit. I couldn't do it. I made that up. But anyway, I sheepishly come out to where she was at. She didn't take me by the ear, but it might as well have took me by the ear and started kicking me in the seat of the pants, because I was caught, I was busted, I was humiliated, I was embarrassed, but I was drug out of there, and I'm thankful for it, because I had ill intentions. I had mischief on my mind. My mama stopped me. I don't know how she knew I was over at Sammy's, but she knew. You don't remember that, do you? Do you? I ain't going to rehearse everything I've ever done that I shouldn't do, because we'd be here a while. But I'm glad for godly parents. I remember one time I was 18 by this time, and I did something I hadn't ought to do. And I might have been 17, but I did something I hadn't ought to do. And my mama told me to stop, and I said, I'm big enough to do what I want to do, and you can't stop me. She said, that's right, I can't, but wait till your daddy gets home. Daddy come home and said, son, this is the way it's going to be. I said, well, daddy, I'm old enough to do what I want. She said, that's right. Go get your stuff. Pack it up. Get in your car and leave. It's your choice. I go, what? He said, you can do what you want to do. You're plenty big enough. I was on my own by this time. You want to be on your own, do your own thing. Get in your car and leave. What? You're kicking me out? No, I'm not kicking you out. You're going to make a choice. You either do what I tell you to do, and what your mama tells you to do, when I tell you to do it, when she tells you to, or you leave. Well, Daddy, I think I'll just do what you tell me to do. I'm not ready to leave yet. I never packed a bag, but I took my licking. Daddy also whipped me that day. I didn't talk back to neither one of them no more. Come on now, I'm glad for godly parents. I'm glad for parents to tell me this is how it is, son. Turn me into DHS, I'm going to whoop you anyway. Come on, my dad loved us. My dad loved us. He loved me enough to correct me. Come on now. I'm the man I am today because my daddy loved me. Because if he hadn't loved me, and Jesus hadn't found me and saved me, I'd probably be dead today. I'm glad he found me. Wrapped his love all around me. Amen. I'm glad that they prayed for me. I'm glad they cried over me. I'm glad that they asked God to protect me. Aren't you? Amen today. Samson could have avoided a lot of misery if he had listened to his parents. Instead, but he was ruled by the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes. When his parents advised him against being unequally yoked to an unbeliever, his main comment was, "She pleases me well. I like what she looks like. I like the way she walks. I like the way she talks. I like her ruby red lips. I just like her. I like everything about her." That's what he said. "I want her." She was not pleasing to God. You see, but first God spoke to him. His parents spoke to him. Then God spoke to him. Still he said, "I'm going to do what I want to do." God spoke to him through circumstances. A roaring lion come out against him. He killed it with his bare hands as the Spirit of the Lord come upon him. But he fought a fight he didn't need to fight. How many times we walk away from God, we fight fights we didn't need to fight. Why? Because we got out of the will of God. We got out from under his protection. We started doing our own thing. Then we had to pay the price. Come on. You know it's true. He was in the enemy's territory. He went down to Timnath. He was going down to see that girl. He was going down to make an unholy matrimony. He was going to get married to someone he shouldn't marry, and he was going down in some territory. He was in the enemy's territory. Do you realize that many of you fight against temptation and sin simply because you're in the enemy's territory? You got into a place you had not to be. You're there and you're fighting it. You open up, there's just all kinds of things I can say right there. But you're fighting battles you didn't need to fight. You enter Satan's realm, his territory. And when you do, you better get ready to fight for your spiritual life. Because when you enter his territory, he's going to do everything he can to kill, steal, and destroy you. When you enter his territory, he's no longer just roaring at you. He is setting traps. You entered into his territory. You got out from under the realm of the Spirit of God, out from under the protection of God, and now anything goes. Come on now. Anything went when he got there. So if you go to sinful places, you do sinful things, you'll find yourself facing temptation and problems of your own making. Stop blaming God when you got yourself in trouble. Stop blaming God. Many times your battles are of your own making because you're where you're not supposed to be. You can't hold the world in one hand and the church with another. You'll lose your influence. Either get in, I guess get out. You can't serve two masters. Either you love the one and hate the other or vice versa. You got to discern that you're going to love and serve God. Someone said one time, said, if I was to ever get out of church, I'd be the best sinner I could possibly be. Because I'm going to serve. But when I got saved, or that's what they said, when I was out in the world, I was the best sinner I could be. I worked at it. But once I got saved, now I'm the best Christian I can be. I'm going to work at it, being the best Christian possible. Because I realize what God has saved me from. We need to understand that today, Lord. You can't hold the world in one hand and the church in another. You're going to lose your influence. You'll lose your testimony because you cannot serve two masters. You see, although the Lord had blessed Samson and empowered him with the Spirit, he made fatal errors that led to spiritual failure and physical death. That's what happened to him. He made some fatal errors in his lifestyle and in not serving God. And church, you got to be careful. You'll make a fatal error and you'll lose your very soul. you'll lose your soul. He didn't anchor his life in the Word of God. He showed a lack of concern and respect for God's commandments, specifically God's law concerning mixed marriages. And if you read 1 Corinthians, you'll find out that God has a plan for your life, a plan for your marital life, for your sex life. God has a plan all through His Bible. He wants you to be fulfilled. He wants you to be satisfied. But He wants you to follow His plan. And He says, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And it's very plain that we do that oftentimes. And many people come to church to find a spouse. As soon as they find them, they lead them out of the church. That's not God's plan neither. But see, he made fatal errors. He didn't anchor his life in the Word of God. He disregarded his parents' God-given instruction and rejected his godly heritage in order to fulfill his own desires. And church, have you seen people like that? I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to do my own thing. I don't want anything to do with God. I don't want anything to do with the church. Your values are not my values. Your ways are not my ways. I'm sick and tired of what the church has to offer. So I'm going to go do what I want to do for a while. That's a mistake. It leads to destruction. It leads to spiritual death. It'll destroy you. But Samson did that. Unlike Moses, who chose to endure the adversity with God's people, rather enjoying the pleasure of sin for a season, Samson chose to express his human emotions and desires in ways that didn't please God. He got himself in trouble. He misused God's gifts and empowerment for personal gain and advantage. So what am I saying? He lost his testimony. What he could have done for God, he could have been a witness not only to the world, the Philistines, of God's power and God's deliverance. He could have been a witness to the church, God's people, the Israelites, those all around him and his family. He lost his testimony. How did he die? First off, they captured, first off, in that next chapter, you read where he went to a prostitute. What was he doing? Fulfilling the lust of the flesh again. He was a womanizer. Couldn't keep his eyes off of women. Couldn't control his lust. Come on now. He went to a prostitute. Right after that, he met a woman named Delilah. And Satan set a trap. The enemies of God set a trap. And you read the rest of the story and you find out that she kept on, in chapter 16, she kept on and she kept on and she kept on until she finally figured out where his strength lied. What God had told him to do. And they cut his hair and he lost all of his strength. Why? Because he laid his head in the lap of sin. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh. So they came in, they captured him, they poked out his eyes, they bound him in fetters of brass, they made sport of him, he ground corn in the prison house, he was made a slave when he could have been a victor, where he could have been a leader, he become a slave. But the Bible says they had a big feast. There's no glory in what happened to Samson. I know God did mighty works by his hand, still used him. But God had greater things in store. God had bigger plans than what happened. God wanted to deliver a whole house of Israel out from under the enemy's hand. He wanted to show them again that there was a God in heaven. He wanted to use Samson to show them that. So they bind him up. They in fetters of brass. And then they cut his hair. But then his hair began to grow back. And he began to pray and seek God. And so one day when they was having a big feast, they called for Samson out of the prison house. And they brought him there to make sport of him, make fun of him. And he had a young lad take him. He said, show me where the pillars are. Show me where the pillars are of this house. And he got between them. And he basically leaned on them with all of his strength. And when that house fell, there was 3,000 men and women who was making sport of him. And God gave him strength one more time, and he avenged the Philistines. And this is the sad part. He didn't say, God, help me avenge you. Strengthen me so that I might bring glory to your name. He said, Lord, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me only this once, God, so I can be avenged of the Philistines who poked out my eyes. What he said. He said, Lord, I don't want to bring, he didn't say, I want to bring glory to you. I want to avenge these guys. I want to get the best of them. So he did. And he said, let me die with the Philistines. And he brought the house down. We was in a depiction of that last month in Branson, Missouri, at the Sight and Sound Theater. And when they did that part of that, man, they had stuff falling all over that place. It's almost like you was in it. Like, good grief, everything. I don't know how they do this. But everything was falling, and he was avenged. But you know what? It could have been a whole lot different story if Samson had not lost his testimony. And ladies and gentlemen, we don't want to end up like Samson. We don't want to be a fence rider. We want to please God. You don't want to lose your testimony. Amen? And that's what this is all about. Don't lose your testimony. Don't be like Samson. Hang in there. It's worth it. It's worth it. Before we dismiss this morning, I want to pray for Sarah Johnson.